young boy named Benjamin started to write a prayer letter to God. He was asking for a baby sister. So he began, "Dear God, I've been a very good boy," and then stopped, thinking that maybe God won't be so convinced by this letter. So he started over again, taking a new sheet of paper. He began, "Dear God, most of the time I've been..." Again, he stopped, dissatisfied that this plea was not going to work with God either. Then he thought for a minute, and then the boy got a towel from the linen closet and put it on a chair, and then he reached up to the mantle where the statue of the Virgin Mary was there, and he lifted up very carefully, as he had seen his mom do often. He put Mary in the towel, and then carefully folded over the statue. Then he secured the towel with a rubber band and carried the parcel back to the desk to continue his letter. He took another piece of paper and made this third attempt. "Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again..." Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done this trick with God. But often, when we think about prayer, we think it's a bargain that we have to make with God. Or we have to twist God's arms or somehow get the words right. Then perhaps God might hear us. Do we really need to do that? The readings that we heard from Colossians and the Gospel of Luke says no, that's not the way God works, because as one person put it, God is always there first. So when we pray, we are actually answering this first step that God has already taken. Jesus put it more simply, God is Abba. One who loves us, one who made us, and one who hears us even before we cry out. So, how can we pray like Jesus or pray like Paul? As you know, I've been speaking about how in this 125th year of our church, we have to get back to the basics. And the basics of being a church is to pray. So how can we do that? Pray like Jesus. Well, one thing to remember is that what captured Jesus' attention and life, his focus, was to announce that God's kingdom was coming, or is already here. That this God's kingdom is approaching right in front of our faces. And if we just but look, that we can see the kingdom flowering beside us. Jesus has sent us out with this mission, yet he knows how difficult that is going to be. I put the photograph of these three ducklings in the front of our bulletin. They are going into a world that is dangerous. Their future is hazy, yet they can see themselves. Yet the focus of this picture is this mother flowing behind them, always keeping them in her eyesight, letting them be free to follow, to find, yet always within distance to keep them protected. Very close, very, very close, yet enough so that we can find our way in the world. Jesus believed in this mother like God. He called him Abba. Jesus depended on this loving presence of God. So when his disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, he didn't provide them with 7 steps or 12 steps or some meditation technique or some special place or a thing. He simply told them these five petitions, five prayers they ought to make. God, reveal yourself in our world. God, may your kingdom come. May the new Eden appear in our midst. God, give us bread, food, sustain us. God, we need your forgiveness as much as bread. And then finally, God, protect us, deliver us, save us. Then he tells us these stories to remind us of this God that we believe in. I've spoken to you about Pastor Rubinus of Latvia, this small nation that became independent from Russia in 1991. And now there is a huge Christian movement. Pastor Latvia tells this story. Someone became friends with God. "You have a hard life," God says. And the man says, "Why?" God says, "Because I will want to give you everything that I can. And that's a problem because I can give you everything. I don't know what it is that we are asking God to do today in our lives. God has given us so much, hasn't he? We experience forgiveness and the power to forgive others. What a gift is that? We are given the power to pray for others, to enter into their suffering, into their world, to be able to empathize, to cry with them, to laugh, and to rejoice. God has given us a mission to serve the world, to make the world a better place. We are able to even send our young people as an extension of this church to serve people that we don't know, to build their homes, to paint, so that they may have a better place of their own on this earth, and to be God's family together. God has given us so much. And God wants to give us more. So Jesus says, pray. Only thing that we need, Jesus says, is to know this God of the Bible, this God he calls Abba, to relate to this God, to see his smiling face, smiling on us and on the rest of the world, and to recognize this face of God in our world. Jesus says we can do that because our own experiences tell us something about asking and receiving. If a neighbor comes and asks for help, no matter how, what a bind we're caught in, if they keep knocking and asking, even if we are tired, even if we don't think we have it, we will try our best to meet the needs of our neighbors. That's how we are, Jesus says. Would God be any slower? He asks, fully expecting us to say no. God will be more than the neighbor. We can pray confidently because God is ready to answer. And using the three metaphors that we've always heard of asking, seeking, and knocking, Jesus compares God to the parents that we've had, moms and dads, who hear our requests and they do their best. I had a friend who worked many, many hours, and he would complain to us, "My back hurts because I'm working so hard." And so we would ask him once in a while, "Well, why do you work so hard?" And he says, "I'm willing to knock out my back and fall on my knees if I can do this for my children." Our parents make such sacrifices and are willing to love us. Jesus says, will our Heavenly Father do any less than that? What Jesus is asking of our church is to become a family of petitioners, seekers, knockers, telling the world that God's kingdom is here. Living by this model prayer so others can see and meet this God of the Bible. A prayer was made by a faithful believer. Lord, I ask you to pardon me for three major sins. First, I go on these pilgrimages to your holy temples and churches and shrines, but I forget that you are everywhere already. Second, Lord, I so often cry to you for help, forgetting that you are more concerned than I am for my welfare and well-being. Finally, here I am, Lord, asking for forgiveness when I know that our sins are forgiven even before we commit them. What are our children learning about prayer? Well, here are some prayers that other children have written. Dear God, we read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did. So I bet he stole your idea. Our Father in heaven. Dear God, it rained for our whole vacation and is my father mad? He says something about you that people aren't supposed to say, but I hope you won't hurt him anyway, your friend, but I'm not gonna tell you who I am. Hallowed be thy name. If you watch me in church on Sunday, I'm going to show you my new shoes. Your kingdom come on earth. Please send me a pony, dear God. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Give us this day our daily bread. I bet it is very hard for you to love all of everybody in the world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it. Man, forgive us our trespasses. Dear God, my brother is a rat. You should give him a tail. Aha! Lead us not into temptation. Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? But if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother. Deliver us from evil. How will we pray in the way Jesus prayed? Anne Frank, living under Nazi oppression, wrote these words, which I think captures the urgency and the focus of Jesus' prayer. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before beginning to improve the world. Jesus, you know, came from this long history of Jewish prophets who saw a world that was dangerous, that was hurtful, yet who saw a world full of hope because God had made it and God had made them. Jesus made it crystal clear that God wants this world to be loving and kind, that he has a purpose for each one of us, and that each of the disciples are being sent out to carry out this purpose in the world. When we pray as Jesus does, we are making this world into a different reality. We are asking that each of our decisions, our actions, our choices and our thoughts and our words would bring this new world into being. God continues to translate his word into reality through us. Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 2, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in Christ. You're well constructed upon Christ. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. For Paul, our prayer is always connected to our living it out in faith in the world. What our world needs more than ever are prayers and prayers, people who are willing to pray. What our church needs more than ever are prayers and prayers. It is not plans or programs. It's not even prosperity or more possessions or more property, but it's prayer. People who are willing to carry God's presence and God's power into every part of their lives, every part of our world. Pastor Rubinus in Latvia gives us an important image for us in our 125th year. He says, there are financial centers and spiritual centers. In financial centers of the world, people buy spirituality. In spiritual centers, they give it away for free. I pray that our church will see us, that the world will see us as a spiritual center where God's promises, God's presence, God's power is freely shared. Where people can see the smiling face of God through us because we are so immersed in love with God. My deepest desire is that prayers of compassion be unceasingly made in our church so that we can become part of people's lives in their joys as well as in their sufferings. May God make us into His sanctuary so that God's kingdom can grow in us day by day, so that day by day we can become more like our heavenly Abba, who will give us the Holy Spirit because He loves us. May we be so filled with the same power which raised Christ, which is now in this world, changing the world into God's new Garden of Eden. Come, Holy Spirit, come. People of God, let us pray that God's kingdom may come on earth through us. Amen.